So when going through the second bracha of the Shmona Esrei and the bracha of Gevura, of Hashem's Hashem's might, and we had spoken about how Hashem's might can refer to, number one, just the fact that he can literally do anything. And also number two is that he also goes above and beyond what would be expected of him to do. Meaning it's beyond, you've done this, so Hashem is going to reward us with that. That he gives us gift after gift after gift as a way of giving us more and more and more chances, even though we don't necessarily deserve those additional chances. And that's a form of gevura. That's a form of Hashem's strength. That he's going above what is expected to do for us. In the bracha of gevura, we mention, right, Ata Gibor L'Olam, that you are forever great, Mechayim Esim Ata, that you revive the dead, Rav L'Hoshia, abundance of salvation, meaning that it's endless, your gevura. And we say Mashav Ruach Umor Degeshem. In the wintertime, we add in the fact that Hashem brings the rain, the chesed, that Hashem sustains life with kindness, that he restores life with abundant rachamim, abundant mercy. So mechnoflim, he supports those that have fallen. Rofei cholim, heals the sick. Matir asurim, he releases those that are bound up. Maintains faith for those that are sleeping in dust. And we'll have to explain, of course, what each of these descriptions is referring to. Mi kamocha ba'al gevuros. Who's like you, Hashem, the one with all this might? Umi domalach, there's nobody like you. Melech memes umachayu matzmeshua, you are a melech who causes death, restores life. And allows the Yeshua, allows the salvation to sprout forth. We believe that you are going to restore life to those that have passed. Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaye Amesim. That you, Hashem, restore life. Blessed are you that you revive the dead. The two questions that we have to get to. Number one is, Mashiv Haruach Umor Degeshem. Why specifically is rain discussed in all the things to describe Hashem's might? Why are we specifically talking about rain? And the second is, why do we refer to Tchias HaMesim so many times? In fact, three times in the three times in this bracha, we refer to Hashem as the Mechaye Mesim, as the one that restores life. Why specifically do we refer to Mechaye Mesim three times? Those are the two questions we have to get to. So let's deal with the first one. Ma'ashiv Ruach Umor Degeshem, that Hashem brings the rain. So the Abu Dhuram addresses this question of that, where do we see Hashem's gevura specifically in rain? So he says, because, as we mentioned before, there's really two ways to view gevura. One is simply light, and the other is that Hashem goes above and beyond what is expected. Rain is one of those blessings we have from Hashem that it is obvious that Hashem is going above and beyond to give to us. Meaning to say that even when we don't deserve it, we get it. Because as the Gemara in Tainus tells us, this we had spoken about, the Gemara in Tainus tells us that it says, Gadol Yom HaGeshamim Miyom Tchias HaMesim. Yosem Tchias HaMesim. That even more great than the day of the resurrection of the dead is a day when it rains. Why? Gemara says, "De'ilu tchias hamesim letzadikim lo lirashayim," because tchias hamesim, the resurrection of the dead, is only going to be for tzadikim. It's only going to be for those that are righteous, those that are deserving. However, geshamim is for everybody. When it rains, everybody benefits from it. The wicked, the righteous, everybody benefits when it's raining. That's what it says. In the Gemara, Ilu Geshamim Letzadikim U Ulurashim. So therefore, points out the Abu Dhuram, it is when it rains, you're seeing Hashem's Gevurah in action, meaning that he is making that investment. He's giving bracha to even those that aren't deserving of it when it's raining, because everyone is going to be benefiting from it. And therefore, you see the chesed of Hashem more directly. Now, one could say that, that's just the way that Hashem runs the world and it's in nature, right? Meaning Hashem put into nature that when it rains everywhere, right? That if it's raining over San Diego, it's raining for all of San Diego. It's not like Hashem is going to only bring the rain to the gardens of those that are, you know, righteous, but when it's raining, the farms of the farmers that don't pay their taxes also get rain on them as the farmers who do pay their tax. So what does that mean, right? This is the way that rain works. This is the way Hashem set up for rain to work. So it's not like there's an active decision being made to give rain to everybody. So the Gemara, actually, that's not the case. The Gemara tells us in Tainus that there was a particular tzaddik, Rav Daniel Bar Ketina. Daniel Bar Ketina was a farmer, and he would go out into the farm, and he would look at the vegetation, and he would say, Kol Yoma Havi Asl V'sayir La. He'd go out and mend to his garden. Amr La Mishariah by Amaya, that these need water, these plants need water. Vaha Mishariah Lo by Amaya, but these plants don't need water. Va'asa Mitra, the Mashki, Kol Hecha de Bayle Maya. And Hashem then brought the rain only onto these plants and not these plants, to these vegetables and not those vegetables, to this tree and not that tree. And for this tzaddik, Hashem literally just brought small pockets of rain wherever the rain was needed. So you see that when Hashem decides where the rain lands, right? And therefore, even when we see rain happening, that's how the Gemara says, it's such a great day because you see Hashem's kindness so abundantly clear. Hashem's not just only giving to the tzaddikim. He's not only allowing it to rain for Rav Daniel Bar Ketina, but he's allowing it to rain for everybody. And everyone's going to benefit from this, putting the investment in every single person, the tzaddikim, the rishayim, and everybody. And that's a form of the greatest kindness of Hashem, using that aspect of Hashem's gevurah. In fact, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Hashem makes an active decision where the rain should go, how not only where it goes, but even how much is given and when it's given, based on a level of righteousness from the people. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, go up, everybody's perfect and good and davening so well, a full teshuvah happens. So Hashem says, for these tzaddikim, then we're going to have an abundance of rain this year. Harishai Yisrael tzaddikim gemurim b'Rosh Hashanah. They were perfect tzaddikim on Rosh Hashanah. Who paskal aleihem from merubim. And Hashem decides there's going to be a lot of rain for them. So then, but l'sof, but then, you know, a couple months later, hopefully it even lasts that long. Chazru. Behen, they go back to their old ways. Now, what's Hashem going to do in that scenario? Lefachas Mehen, he's not going to lessen the amount that he decided to give us, because we have a general Masorah that if Hashem decides to do something good for Klal Yisrael, he's not going to renege on that, even if not deserving of it. So then if that's the case, he's not going to lessen the volume of water. What's going to change, says the Gemara, Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu, more than Shlobimanam, Aha Arich in a tree Halahen. Hashem's just going to decide to give the rain in places that won't necessarily need it at a time that it isn't needed. And that might be what happens. But what you see from that Gemara, God forbid that any of that should happen, but what you see from that Gemara is that it is clear that Hashem doesn't just have rain come at random or based on when it naturally is supposed to take place, but it is very, very specific in its location where it lands, who's going to benefit from it, how much is being given, and when it's being given. And that shows, so if you see that rain is helping us, all of us, whether we're deserving or not deserving of it, you see Hashem's gevura in action, because you're seeing Hashem going above and beyond what would be expected and giving kindnesses even to those that are quote unquote undeserving of it. One other explanation we'll say quickly that we had mentioned last time about Mashav HaRuach Moed HaGeshem, and what that has to do with the really what the bracha is really framed around, which is Tchias HaMesim, which we'll get to soon, about the resurrection of the dead and why it's repeated three times. We'll have to get to that. But that's like we had mentioned that the reason why we bring up Tchias HaMesim right away in the bracha is because there's probably no greater example than God's gevura and God's might than that. Because, I mean, literally from a might perspective, from a physical capabilities, there's no greater example of the limitless capabilities of God than the ability to restore a life. And that's just no scientific advancement, nothing can accomplish that other than a creator of the world, right? So that's why the first thing we say in Ata Gibor L'Olam Hashem, we say, you have the most strength, it's endless, Ata Gibor. L'Olam Hashem, Mechayesem, you're going to restore life, right? Because we're trying to highlight right away the greatest display of Hashem's Gevura. And then what's the next thing we say? Mashav Ruach Moed HaGeshem. You bring the rain, which means that plants can grow, which means that plants can grow. So Rav Dessler wants to say the reason why Geshem, which means the ability for plants to grow, vegetation to grow, comes next is because that is something that's equally miraculous that we don't even see as a miracle. It's just something that happens all the time. But it's crazy to think about, he says, that you take a seed, you put it on the ground, and then it breaks down, and that through those nutrients, and all of a sudden it doesn't just sprout, and it doesn't just grow, but that there's new fruit that takes place that grows there. Within the fruit, there are more of these seeds that, if taken care of properly, will reproduce an exponentially more than the one seed you started with. That one seed has the ability to produce hundreds of fruit, and then from those fruit that each has a number of seeds can produce hundreds more, each of them individually. We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times more than just this initial seed. It's impossible to calculate just how much can come from this one seed. And all that happened was that the seed was placed in the ground and Hashem took care of the rest. That's miraculous, but something we see all the time and just take for granted. Says Rav Dessler, in order to appreciate Tchias HaMesim, we need to look more at that natural, quote unquote, natural process that happens all the time in front of our eyes. And in order to appreciate that, quote unquote, natural process that happens all the time, we need to view it as a Tchias HaMesim. And that's why the two are coupled together. Because what we are lacking in our appreciation from plants growing, we gain when we recognize the fact that Hashem has the ability to restore life, and that we'll come to more fully believe in the fact that Hashem can restore life, the more that we look at the way that Hashem does that all the time with plants and fruits and vegetables, etc.
So Mayim is all, when you say Mayim is water, water is associated with God, and God is associated with water, correct?
That Hashem uses his might to bring the water in order to restore life, yeah.
But when the water comes from sky, it's different than what is already here on earth. This is a replenishing.
It's not only replenishing,
yeah, but
it's also getting new.
That's what I'm saying, but it's the ability to really witness new.
Right. Yeah, agreed 100%, yeah. Okay, now I want to talk about why is it that we mentioned Tchias HaMesim three times in this paragraph. We start and we say, We say, Ata Yibro Olam Hashem, Mechaim Mesem, number one. Number two, Mash Ruach Mardigesh Mechak Tochaim Bechesem, on page 100, Mechaim Mesem Barachim Imramim. You can restore life. And then number three, towards the end of that paragraph, we say, Melech Memis Umechaye, Umatzmiach Yeshua. And we end and say, that Hashem is a Mechaye Mesem, he restores the life to the dead. Three times in the paragraph,
isn't it four?
No, because where we say, Melech Memis Umechaye, that's separate. Hashem is a king that is Memis, meaning causes death, and also Mechaye, and also gives life. Give life meaning in birth. Mm-hmm. Right? But actually referencing the concept of Tchias HaMesim, re-giving life to something that was once dead, is three times. Why these three times? So the Abu Drum addresses as well. Again, it'd be amazing to go back and count how many times we've quoted the Abu Drum in these classes. The Abu Drum is the master of the Siddur, the master Rishon of the Siddur from the 14th century Spain. So the Abu Drum says, because there are three times when we experience a form of Tchias HaMesim. The last one we haven't experienced yet, the resurrection of the dead. Okay, that's what the third one is. That we already know. The third one is really real Tchias HaMesim. Okay, let's work backwards. The second time we're quoting it is another time that we witness it. Is, as we were just talking about, when the rain comes, something that was once dead, meaning a dead seed that broke down completely, is now has life being re-given to it through the plants that are growing, etc. Another form of Tchias HaMesem, not of living and living beings, but living vegetation, giving life to the vegetation. It's the second. What's the first one referring to? Sleep. We know the Gemara tells us in Brachos that Shena he ad Meshishim b'misa, that sleep is some form of death. The way the Gemara calls it, it's 1/60th of death. Now, what exactly does that mean? What does that mean that sleep is a 60th of death? So the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, was an Italian achron, one of the greatest Jewish thinkers that we've had, and his writings of Jewish thought and philosophy really have shaped what's considered normative Jewish outlook. The Ramchal writes in his Derech Hashem, he says that we know that in order for us to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish in our lifetime, we need both our guf and our nefesh. We need our physical body and we need our nefesh. We need our soul. And the two working in tandem with each other, hopefully by the end of our lives, hopefully sooner than that, in perfect synergy, we are going to be able to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish. That's what makes us, that's what gives us our chelek elokam imal. That's what gives us this piece of us, this divineness to us, our godliness within us, that we use our body in order to allow our neshama to shine. And that's how we, right, the two need to work in tandem, right? The nefesh should guide what the body does, and the body is going to be able to act on that which the nefesh needs it to do, right? The two are going to be working hand in hand. When a person is asleep, are you really able to have the two work in tandem? No. Your body is still there and functioning perfectly well when a person's asleep. But the body can't really access the neshama to accomplish something when it's asleep, right? And the nefesh can't guide the body when it's asleep because you're asleep. That's what happened. That's why when wake up from sleep, we do Netilas Yadayim, because we're like a Bria Chadasha, because we're now restarting this process, allowing the nefesh and the guf, the body and the soul, to reunite and work hand in hand once again. In fact, there's a Gra points out amazingly. The Gra points out in his commentary on Mishlei, he says that why did God make it that we have to sleep? Why didn't he just make it that one could think, halavai, we didn't have to sleep, right? I remember I once was doing like an icebreaker with teenagers, and one of the teenagers, the icebreaker was, if you had a superpower, what would it be? One of the teenagers said that I wouldn't have to sleep. It would be a superpower. I was like, wow, that's an amazing response, right? Hey, imagine what if you have not just a full 24 hours. You never have to stop. You never get tired to stop. Just keep going. Yeah, or imagine that's just the way that our bodies worked, how much more we would be able to accomplish, right? That so the Gra says, then why is it that we sleep? Why not always have the guf and the nefesh working in tandem? Imagine how much more we'd be able to accomplish. So the Gra points out amazingly, he says, because the just like the body needs its rest, and that's the way Hashem set us up physically, the nefesh needs a reset. It's not only our physical body that needs a reset, but our nefesh needs a reset. Similar to what happens when we are in our mother's womb before we're born. The Gemara tells us in Nidan Daf Lamed that before a child's born, he or she has a chavrusa, a malach, and the malach teaches the child kol Torah kula. But that means, we pointed out by the Shabbat Shuvah drasha from Mitzvah Haver, that what that means is that the child is gaining a deep rooted subconscious of what is right and wrong, of what is true or false, and it gets rooted in somebody's subconscious, deep in their subconscious before they're born, as to what is God's will in the world, what I'm supposed to do, what is a decision to make, that it's deeply rooted within us somewhere from that experience. When we go to sleep, our neshama has the ability to get reset in that type of way. Which is why when we wake up, we say, Moda'ani lefanecha melechavakam shechazarta bi nishmasi. You've returned my neshama to me, meaning you've reset it for me, Hashem. Bechemla, with mercy, you didn't have to do this. You've given me this amazing gift of sleep in order so that you can take my neshama and you've given it the ability to have it to reset. Rabba emunasecha, how great is your faith in me, in this combination of guf and nefesh that you've given to me to be able to accomplish what I need to accomplish. The nefesh needs to go through a reset, points out the Gra. It's... What does that look like Api Kabbalah? You're asking me, my beard's not long enough to answer these questions, Karen. I'm sorry. I don't know what it looks like, but it's something probably similar to like the malach learning with the child, whatever that means. It's a reconnection to the divine. It's a re-engagement with Hashem. It's a refocusing. A person has a tremendous amount of clarity when they first wake up in the morning. I don't know if that's at least my experience, right? As the day goes on, as I get more and more and more tired, I feel less clarity in like what's the right thing to do or the wrong thing. Right in the morning, though, I feel extremely refreshed, not only physically, but also spiritually, I feel very refreshed. That's why there's a concept of strengthening emunah specifically at night, in the daytime. In the day, right, we would say it's a pasuk in Tehillim, that we say in Tehillim, in Perek Tzadi Beis Tehillim, we say, Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha V'emunascha Balelos. In the morning, we sing your praises, Hashem, because things are very clear. I don't need to work on my emunah in the morning. Very clear my emunah in the morning. Therefore, I can just sing your praises. But then the emunah is, but at night, I need to strengthen my emunah. Because it's specifically at night that as things are going on, I'm becoming more tired and my neshama is losing its energy also. And therefore, if I need to be awake at night, I need to do what I need to do. I need to be strengthening my emuna at night because I'm losing it. Yeah, that's what the group points out. And that's why the nefesh, the neshama, needs to go through a rest and relaxation and reset. As well, exactly what that looks like, I'm not exactly sure, but it's something that that creates that, which is why we wake up feeling so refreshed. We say, Moda'ani lefanecha, thank you for returning this neshama to me in its reset fashion. So that way, hopefully I can accomplish what I need to accomplish, and you've put this emuna within me. Yeah.
Because often we say, you know, I worked it through the night. It now I've awakened with a different thought on it.
Yeah.
That's an example.
Right. Yeah. You sleep on it, right? You sleep on it, you come up a little bit more refreshed. Now, that doesn't mean that one can't accomplish tremendous spiritual goals at night as well. In fact, the Gemara talks about the significance of specifically learning Torah Shema at night. There's a couple of Tikkun Chatzos. The Gemara talks about that planning for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt at night, davening by Chatzos in the middle of the night, right? There certainly is a the point I was making specifically related to sleep, right? That sleep will help reset somebody's neshama. Well, there's other ways to help reset somebody's neshama as well. Shavuos night, we're learning all night. I never feel the most energized I feel the entire year is at the end of Shavuos night. Shavuos, as the night goes on, I feel more and more and more energized. And then by the end of the night, I'm feeling like, right? Doesn't mean that by the time I get home, I'm not tired, right? Okay, I get home, I take a nap, and I go to sleep, and okay, I'm feeling refreshed again. So there's other ways of doing this, but a natural way Hashem set up for us to make this reset is by going to sleep. Because not only our body that needs the physical rest, but it's also our neshama that needs this, that needs the reset, that needs the reset. Okay.
Not necessarily nighttime, but like a metaphorical night.
Yeah, I think so. Like there could be times a person experiences night, even when it's not dark yet. Yeah, yeah, and it's times like that you need to reset your emuna, and you know. Let's continue in the bracha. So then, the next line of the bracha, we say, Mechalkel Chayim Bechesed, that Hashem sustains the living with kindness. Mechalkel sustains the Chayim, the living, with Chesed, with kindness. Let's break down each of these terms one at a time. Hopefully we'll get to all of them today, but looking at the clock, we'll probably just get to Mechalkel and Chayim. Let's break down each of these. Mechalkel, that Hashem sustains. What is this word, Mechalkel? Mechalkel mean? What is kalkala? These are words that are often interchangeable synonyms of kalkala and parnasa. Parnasa is a person's, you call it their livelihood, and kalkala is that a person is sustained. Okay, but very often those two words are interchanged. But what specifically does the word mechalkel or kalkala kalkala mean? So Rav Chaim Freelander wants to say that the word kalkala means that Hashem gives me exactly what I need. That at minimum he's going to give me what I need. He says that the word kalkala really comes from the word kli. Just as a kli, a vessel, it has a volume that to be filled, right? More than that, it overflows, right? But it can contain a certain amount. Everybody needs a certain amount, and everybody's a little different. But everybody needs a certain amount, whether that mean a certain amount of food, whether that mean a certain amount of money, whether that mean a certain amount of medication, so whatever that means. And it, not only is this for people, but also for animals. and all living things. That's why we say Kakel Chaim. Chaim refers to all living things, points out Rav Freelander. He said, Chaim HaKadosh Mefarnes Lo Rak Lifnei Adam. He's not only sustaining us, people, Elagam L'chalel L'chlal Bali Chaim V'afatso L'tzomech. Animals, vegetation, whatever you need, Hashem is providing. That could be wind, that could be rain, dew, snow, food for the animals, whatever it is, Hashem is making sure that whatever that thing need, from the highest point of the chain, people, to the lowest, just, you know, blades of grass, Hashem provides the chayim for everything, and it's mechalkel. It is calculated, specific to every single one of those, every single one of those creations. In fact, he points to a pasuk that actually basically says this, that the word kalkala refers to exactly what you need. It's a pasuk by Yosef HaTzadik. The Yosef HaTzadik, as his position as the minister of finance in Egypt, that when after he is reunited with his father and his brothers and his family, Avichal tell Yosef as aviv as achiv lechem lefi hataf, that Yosef made sure that his fathers and brothers had what to eat lefi hataf, according to however much they needed. However much they needed, that is how much he gave them. And the Radak points out over there, he says, Inyan zehu inyan hamazon, that with regards to food, gave them the sapek, however much they needed. That what Usher's family might have been different than what Yehuda's family needed, and what Yaakov needed might have been different than what Dina needed, or what Leah needed. Rachel, unfortunately, wasn't alive anymore at that point. But whatever anyone needed, that is what you gave to them. And we're specifically using the word of Yechalkel. That's what Kalkala means. In fact, we say in the morning brachos, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Baruch Olam Sha'asai Kol Tzarki. You give to me everything that I need. Shasa Li, he's made for me, Kol Tzarki, all of my needs. Points out Mefarshim on the Siddur that bracha is saying that Hashem, I don't need anything that you didn't already give me. It reminds me of that there was an interview with Uri Zohar. I mentioned this in the past, it's worth repeating. There's a interview with Uri Zohar. Uri Zohar was a tremendous tzaddik, who was like the Leonardo DiCaprio of Israel, like the most famous actor, musician. Like, he was the number one star in Israeli Hollywood, that at around the age of 40 years old became a Baal Tshuva. And by the end of his life, he was living in a small, cramped apartment in Bnei Brak, filled with Sfarim, and would just sit learning all day, giving shiurim, running tzedakas. This is what the way that this is, he made a complete change. The way my grandfather would talk about this transformation that Uri Zohar went through, he would speak about it like it was like an impossibility. Like, you would never even consider something like this to happen. Like, just, he was the man in Hollywood that became this tremendous tzaddik living in Bnei Brak, in a Haredi world, learning Torah day and night, giving shiurim, etc. And in an interview towards the end of his life, he passed away a couple of years ago, in an interview towards the end of his life, the reporter was interviewing him, and he says to the reporter, he says, you know, by the way, I'm the richest man in the world. He says, you look around the apartment, I'm sorry to say, I don't think that you're the richest man in the world. He says, no, I'm the richest man in the world. He says, yeah, why is that? Because there's nothing that I want that I don't already have. Nothing I want that I don't already have. Can't get richer than that, right? So So that's what we say when we say Sha'asa li kol tzarki. There's nothing that I need that I don't already have.
Isn't it right? Also that bracha is in sort of past tense, like the others are not, so that
yeah.
It's not that anything that happened was something that
I didn't need. I don't, right? So if I don't have something that I used to have, I don't need it anymore, right? There's nothing that I need that I don't already have. That's what Mechalkel is trying to highlight. Mechalkel for all Chaim. There's nothing, if we are standing here saying this bracha right now, it means that there's nothing that I need that I don't already have. Now that's incredible. Thank you, Aisha, for allowing that to happen. Thank you. Thank you for allowing that to happen.
That means that if you have a serious lack, then that's what you need to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I right now, and again, because we're not up to, this is still in the part of the Shemoneh Esrei of Shevach, of praise. We haven't gotten to requests, right? So before I even go to requests, I'm saying, Hashem, I might ask for certain things, but right now I'm saying to you, there's nothing that I need that I don't already have. Now, I might want something else. Something else might make things a little bit easier for me, whatever it might be. But in terms of necessities, you've taken care of everything. And that's, and I want to just start by saying thank you. That's amazing. Thank you. The tour points out, yes.
Can a sick person say that they have everything they need? A mortally sick person.
I would say both. I think that from a technical standpoint, if they're able to stand and say the Shemoneh Esrei, or they were able to wake up today, then technically speaking, they have everything they need today. Now, as I mentioned before, when we get to the requests, now we're going to come with a little bit of a different tone. It's more like, Hashem, I know I have everything I need, but if you are able to get me out of this illness and give me a few more years, I can accomplish so much more. Hashem, please give me that. Right? It's you would shift gears at that. But in the process of praising, I need to recognize that ultimately I have everything I need right now. I think that's what we're trying to bring out from this part of the bracha, from this part of the Shemoneh Esrei.
Everything is from Hashem and whatever I have.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything's from Hashem. That means that I have everything that I need. This is what Hashem has given me. Yeah. Not necessarily what I want or not. And that doesn't mean that things can't change, and that it changing is going to be, again, what I need, right? But we're not up to that yet. Right now we're up to the praise of Hashem, the praise of Hashem for everything that he gives us. The tour points out, he says, this is specifically why this part of the Shemoneh Esrei is coming right after we mentioned Geshamim, right after we mentioned rain. The tour writes, he says, Nagula Omro lifnei mechakel chayim, that we first say that Hashem brings the rain, and then we say that Hashem sustains our life and gives us exactly what we need. L'fisha ha-geshamim, because rain is an example of kalkalo pranasa, of something that will provide us with what we need, right? Without the rain, I'm going to lack what I need, right? As it rains and things grow, and there's more things, and I have everything that I need due to the rain, right? That's one aspect of it. So that's why it comes right one. Right into the next. Okay, good. All right. I apologize. We have to stop here. I want to get to the next thing, but it's our time. I apologize. We have to stop here. But next time we'll continue going through each one of these descriptions of Hashem's Gevura, thanking Hashem and praising Hashem for each of these things, similar to what we have just pointed out with Mashiv Haruach Mordegeshem, the Gevura that is abundance, Hashem's abundance, kindness through giving us the rain. It affects everybody in a positive manner. And then also Mechalkel Chayim, that Hashem restores, sustains our life, giving us exactly what we need, each person, lefit sarfo, each person according to their needs. We'll stop here. Shkoch, everyone. There's no class tonight, the Life's Biggest Questions, but there is a program at 8 o'clock with Reva Judas. It should be a very important session on supporting people that go through infertility or issues of pregnancy loss and things of that nature. So trauma related to that is a very important. I highly recommend everybody. Attendance can be for ladies tonight here at 8 o'clock. All right. I don't know whether or not she records her talks. I'm not sure. Yeah. All right.
In the safari, sir, are the morning blessings in a different order?
Yeah, they are in a different order. Okay. Yeah, they are in a different order. Yeah. Yeah, the